Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show right here on Long Island and in Connecticut. I'm Chris Switzer, and this is the finest talk show automotively because we have our finger, or something like our finger, on the pulse of the automotive community. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, here's a man that can diagnose and repair almost anything, but hasn't the foggiest idea why his internet service has collapsed right before our very eyes. It's Ray Guarino, your host of this fine program. How are you, Ray Ray? There you are.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State...
This is perfect. This is just perfect. I will be talking to myself because I can't hear anything. I can just watch meters moving. If Ray wants to give me a call, he could probably call me online.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does, especially if there's no babbling at all.
Alrighty, we are back with Motormouth Radio right here on Long Island, in Connecticut, and all places everywhere. I'm Chris Switzer, of course, with our finger or something that looks like our finger on the pulse of this fine, upstanding automotive nonsense. And of course, the man who can't figure out why his internet isn't working, and we still can't figure out why this show technologically falls into the dumpster every once in a while. It's Ray Guarino, your host. Ray, save me. How are you, sir?
Well, Chris, hi. funny enough, we were just talking before the show about how we've had some rocky instances and things that happened during the show, and we always seem to soldier on and get through it, and we didn't think we were going to start this show with that kind of a thing, but hey, we did. So here we are. We're back. We got it. We're okay.
But we're okay now. You know, the first 5 minutes was a little touch and go there. No, it's funny because it's like I'm saying hello and I don't hear you. And I saw you there a second ago and you were gone. I'm like, where's Ray? Save me. And yeah, you know, when, you know,
I know. Between us to do the show operationally, which people may or may not know, we do an internal Zoom meeting so we can choreograph. And right. Right before I was ramping up, it was like 12:58, 12:59. I'm waiting for you to start the show because I don't have internet today again. Great cable right. vision. If there's any Verizon techs out there, get in touch with me. MotormouthRadio@ncc.edu. Send me an email. I may have you come to my wire my house. Zoom drops me. The meeting drops out. I'm like, oh, great.
It's funny when there's just to get technical for 1 second, there's like a carrier current that usually goes through my headset. So I know that there's a person there. So when in that carrier current, you just hear like this little hiss, like that little noise. Whenever you were on a phone, the old days when we had our phones attached to the wall by a cord, when you would get on the phone and if there was no dial tone, you heard something called carrier current. So you heard your own voice through the headset. The handset, I should say. Well, I didn't hear that. And I'm like, where's Ray?
Yeah.
He's gone. So, and of course, I'm shouting, is anyone there? And our internet know-it-all is going, yes, you're on the air, you fool. Yeah. So,
well, you know, people should know that they can always find us, Chris. They can always find us on the internet. If they have internet service, not like me, all they have to do is use Motormouth Radio as the search term and go to the web, because we have the website, motormouthradio.com. We're also, that's our handle on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you want to find us on Instagram, which is my favorite and Joe's alternative favorite and the one he hates the most, it's real_motormouthradio. And then you can find what we do when we're not in the in the confines of our respective studios. And you can find, you know, you can listen to the podcast, the show, and old shows. But I want to tell you this. I want to start the show with something, a great thought that I had yesterday. Yeah. I was driving my my Impala. I had the car out and was running around. And I had to go run some errands. I found myself down in Farmingdale. And one of the things I did was I said, damn, I'm really hungry all of a sudden. Where am I going to go? Oh, damn it. I don't have a mask with me, so I can't go in any place.
Right.
The places I went, I didn't need a mask. Don't ask. We can talk about it later.
Oh, boy.
And now I found myself stuck with that social problem of not being able to go into a establishment.
Sure.
So no problem. There's plenty of drive-thrus. So I said, oh, I know where to go. Ooh, ooh, ooh. White Castle. So I go through the White Castle drive-in. I get my stuff and set it up in the car. And as I'm driving, one of those juicy, and it was just off the grill, one of those juicy burgers took a fall off the seat and literally went barrel rolled end over end like three times, hit the floor, but didn't pop out of the box. So I was able to reach down and retrieve it and eat it, and I was very, very happy. So wow.
You lucked out.
My plea to the, or the thing I'll throw out to the listeners today is, if you have a Whopper that walked, a hot dog that hopped, or a taco that tanked on you, give us a call and tell us about it at 516-256-9510, because I want to hear about it.
That's brilliant. That was very good. That's why there was a time where I would just eat McDonald's cheeseburgers while I was on the road. And I used to call them, road food, because for some reason, other than a little errant ketchup, McDonald's cheeseburgers don't leave any crumbs. Now, I have a version of food when you're driving. There's either crumb food or crumb-free food. Right. And a McDonald's cheeseburger is definitely crumb-free. It never leaves a crumb. It never leaves a crumb. Nothing. So I find that that's very interesting that your White Castle hamburger decided to do a Nadia Comaneci off the seat.
And I'll tell you the interesting thing, even though White Castle burgers I would also classify as being non-crumb food, there's always an errant onion square that comes out and ends up somewhere. And you find them, like when you get out, like, oh, it's on the seat. Oh, look, it's on the console. Oh, look, it's on the floor. They're always somewhere. Or it's on your shirt. They're always somewhere. So, and I eat them. I love onions, so I eat them again.
Yes, our web monkey says the new 5-second rule. If it hits the carpet after 5 seconds.
Well, and you know what? I'll say this. What happens in the car stays in the car.
Yeah, but you kind of know. If you pull up in front of the house and you get out of the car and let's say you forget something, get back in the car again, you go, oh, it smells like a cafeteria in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of know. Get out the Febreze.
I explained to my kids years ago how I perfected the car eating technique back when I was in my – before I was 20, I was in my teens. You know, because I drove a car. I actually drove a Chevy with a 6-cylinder. Right. You know, it was manual steering and brakes, 3-speed standard shift on the floor. And I had – and no cup holders back then. We're talking the 70s.
Sure.
I had to steer, shift – you know, and the earliest was like Subway. I used to be able to eat a BMT and hold that soda between my legs, and you shift. Things take different positions. The sandwich is on your leg. You have the soda in your hand. Then the soda goes between your legs, and you pick up the sandwich. Now you got to shift, switch hands because you have to steer. Oh, directional. And I think
hit the horn.
It really becomes a ballet of driving prowess, and I am proud of it. Now I know you should. Hey, whatever.
No, it's kind of funny you mentioned a lack of cup holders. I don't know what General Motors or even any of the companies were thinking about in the 60s, because do you remember what they considered a cup holder? What was a cup holder back in the 60s? Think back. Where was your cup holder in the 60s?
It was just thighs. Well, none of my 60s cars have anything that resemble cup holders, unless it was a console that you could open.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Almighty. What happens when you opened up the glove compartment in any?
Oh, right. They had those two round indented rings. But that was for when you were stopped, like at a drive-in,
right,
presumably.
But what did they expect you to put in those two indented rings? It barely had enough room for a cup and a standard glass cup and a saucer. That was all the way, because it was only about 3 inches high. Well, you can get a cup in there, you got to put it sideways. Speaking of sideways, we're going to go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Holy cow, I actually got through.
Holy cow.
Christian.
Wow. Hey, my brother.
What's up?
Let me tell you, brother, you're my Instagram hero. People should go to your site if you want to tell them what it is. And because you took your daughter out for a daddy-daughter day yesterday, and brother, you get a big 10-4, a big heads up for that one. It's fantastic. I'm so stoked over it.
I got home last night, and I'm walking in the house, and I felt something on the bottom of my shoe, and I peeled a big piece of rubber off the bottom of my foot. And I was like, look, Ava, I got rubber from the tires on my foot.
Tell people the backstory, because no one else but me right now understands what you went through.
I was just going to say, you have my undivided attention, well, Christian.
Yeah. No, yesterday was a total fluke, because I have a friend of mine, Al Boland, who I used to work on their sprint cars. They run a Legends car, and Eric Hersey is driving it, which the Herseys, I used to build engines, Legends car engines for them, too, in the past. So I know yesterday when I was looking into it, that yesterday was the qualifier. It was a national qualifier for the InX Racing Series. So it was a very important day for the Legends car guys. So they had 39 Legends cars there yesterday.
Wow.
So I decided, like on a fluke, I said, and it's funny because Al Boland Sr., he's in his 80s. I messaged him on Facebook. He's super active on Facebook with all the vintage race car stuff, vintage race cars on Long Island and the fire department. Go ahead, go out. Ava's out here playing around. They're out there. She's in the driveway trying to get worms in the...
Saving the worms. How old is your daughter, Christian?
But she's going to be 5 this month.
Oh, God bless. That's great. Yeah. See what you say.
So, I mean, by yesterday, I hit up Al on Facebook. I said, you guys going to be out there? And I said, yeah. I said, I need to get to the track because the track is closed. He said, don't worry. Come in the pits. So, you said, car number 27. I said, all right, cool. So I had to pay, I had to pay a good chunk of change to get pit passes. But it was, worth every penny of it for the experience for her. So why not?
That's great. Does she like it? Does she dig it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had pink cars, white cars, purple cars,
Oh, totally. So she's definitely...
She was not bothered by big block Chevys. The noise didn't really get to her. She was, holding her ears. It wasn't really that loud.
Right.
But the race fuel, it was,
Yeah.
We got a good buzz off of it yesterday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I had her in the staging lane. She went over and she was fist pumping the guy that drives that Richie Evans car, that 37 Ford. The number 61 that I put on my Instagram, the coupe.
Yes.
So he was sitting in there ready to go. So I was like, hey, well, go ahead, give him a fist pump. So he's going up to the drivers. The drivers are behind the nets. They stick the hand out, give her a fist pump,
Right.
She gets to see the guys go out on the track. So, that means a lot,
Christian, do you want to tell people how they can, you want to put out your account so people can follow you if they want, or you want to, no? I mean, they can probably find it through us anyway.
No, it's fine. And you're on a wicked echo, by the way.
Yeah.
You sound like one of those truck drivers in the CB.
Ken Forgan, buddy, I'm on a cell phone in my basement right now. What do you want?
It's like you got the million-watt linear, and you're just powering everybody.
Hold on,
I'll be right there.
Okay, Ray is broadcasting from Mexico.
Yeah. I'm on the air.
But it's, if people want to know, it's Christian underscore LI Racing. And, they can see all my madness, as usual.
As is customary, my Sunday morning around 10 o'clock, two of my buddies start off with, we go through these text strings, and it's usually motorcycle involved, and there was a Honda VFR involved this morning, and we were talking about this, that, and the other thing, and restoring them. And I sent them a link to your last the Instagram post from during the week where you did the black with gold carburetors.
The carburetors, yeah.
And my friend Honda John was flipping, man. So I know that the caps, the tops were powder coated. Were the bodies powder coated as well?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Do you do the powder coating in house?
Two doors down.
Okay, good.
We have actually Tommy from Applause powder coating. He's from Merrick.
Okay.
So he's two door downs from us. So basically, you get in the puddle. You can do something in the puddle. Go ahead. She's got the umbrella. She'll go out playing in the rain. The carburetors, you know, you got to strip them down. I mean, I had to take all the choke plates out, throttle blades out, strip them down. Then you sit there with silicone plugs. You got to plug up every hole. The key is you screw the float bowl to the carb body, and you powder coat the float bowl with the carb. And then when the powder coating is done, then you just kind of like pull the screws out. And when you pull the screws out, there's no powder coating where the new screws will go. And you know, then
That also reminds me of what I see on TV. Guys will paint engines and transmissions and put them in the car. But what they do typically is they'll paint like where the distributor goes in, and they'll paint the back of the block and the front facing section of the transmission.
Yeah.
That's all needed for ground purposes. And a lot of these guys miss that. And I'm surprised that in this day and age. So yeah, I'm not surprised that you don't miss it, because you're an attention to a detail freak like that, and I think that's great.
Well, you have to. No, well, for reassembly purposes, you know, I don't want to, you know, I had some very minimal prep work to put them back together. But the thing is we're using like a wet blast now. So we're using like a glass bead media in a wet hone kind of style cabinet now.
Right.
So the key is when you're prepping the carb bodies, we mix a little RMX baking soda in there too. Yeah. And that keeps the glass bead from sticking inside, you know, areas and stuff like that. So it's a lot of, and which ultrasonicing, which gets everything out. So
I wanted to ask you, with the ultrasonic, what type of fluid do you use when you clean?
No, mainly water. That's mainly water. A very minimal amount of soap. I have like a rust prohibited type of vibratory soap I use. Mm-hmm. On certain things, otherwise, simple green is the best.
Yeah. I watched the guy. It's a tool review site on YouTube, and what he showed was he does a lot of small engine stuff, and he showed how instead of throwing just the carburetor into the ultrasonic cleaner, which soils up the cleaning media, the fluid, he found by putting it into a jar with the fluid in it, and then putting that in the cleaner, it'll clean. The waves go through the jar, and it doesn't soil the main supply of fluid. I gotta try that one. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I gotta try that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Nice.
That's interesting. The sound waves will pass through.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely will. So
what? I was going to ask you how many hours do you put into a rack of four carbs like that?
Well, something that's you know, powder coated like that and done to that level is it's countless hours, really. It's probably it takes an entire day. You know, it's a good 8-hour job of just doing that.
How do you work that into billing? It's kind of hard to bill a guy like $900 for cosmetics, but
yeah,
it's based on like special jobs. We're building a whole entire bike for a guy, so it's kind of like an ongoing project.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you figure if you bought a brand new set of Mikuni flat sides, you'll probably spend about $700 anyway.
Right.
So if you're a conformist to the bike being original, you know, spending $800 on a set of a rack that's all redone like that. You know, I mean, this is all at another level when you're powder coating and stuff. But, I mean, a base price is around $400 to do a rack. We just kind of say $400 a carburetor.
Okay.
And, I mean $100 a carburetor, sorry.
$100 a carburetor,
And, you know, whether it's – and then basically whatever it costs for the parts. And we deal with Sudco International for all the parts for the carbs. If not, we have Parts Unlimited, make some good stuff now. They're making rebuild kits for them. And some of the rebuild kits, you know, come with the hardware and stuff, but we're also stocking, like in my post, you'll see I had bags of stainless Allens that we're using because we could get, you know, all that from McMaster. So we're starting to stock up and keep all that hardware in stock. So now any hard jobs that we do, we just replace all the hardware with Allens. So this way it's a lot easier to, because, you know, with the Phillips, they, you know, on a motorcycle carburetor, you take them apart a million times. Everyone's always working on them. So
right.
The Allens just make it a lot easier.
I threw it out there and apply it. I knew a lot of people wouldn't catch it. I knew you would. I was asking if you were going to stock up on your Colony hardware. Because that was a big supplier of all the stainless and chrome stuff that all the bike shops used.
Between that and Garden of Westcott, but back when I was a kid working for Custom Cycle, we used to take the stock Harley hardware, prep it, put it on a wire, and then he would have that chromed, and then he would have an exchange program where he had original hardware come through. So we would take regular zinc-plated hardware off someone's bike, wire it up, polish it, because they would buy a set of the other hardware from the other previous job. So he was always exchanging hardware. He was never buying the Gardner Westcott or the Colony because he was making his own from the stock Harley hardware.
That's cool.
But the difference was that was triple-plated chrome instead of single-plate. Now, it was a difference, but, you know, obviously with using the hardware, you see flakes of chrome come off. It was a pain.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Very good. That's cool. No, I was glad to see that.
Yeah, but otherwise, it was a good day yesterday. Everything was really awesome because it was just a total fluke that I was like, you know what? Let's go in the car. Hop in the car, kid. You're coming with me to the racetrack, and we're going to go check out some modifieds, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's hysterical.
I saw the vintage modifieds were there, and that got me really riled up because I didn't know they were going to be there. So it was pretty cool. They were cutting some laps out there with that old number 61. Couple other Islip cars, I think, too. Not too sure. But it's definitely, you know, I mean, obviously, you can't go to the track right now as a fan, but like you said, you know, you spend the money on the pit pass, you can do it if you know someone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nice. We had the grandstands, so there was no problem with social distancing. We were like four of us in the grandstands.
But the concession stand wasn't open, so you couldn't get that hot dog, right?
Yeah, you could. It had it open.
Oh, really? Okay.
They had it open. Yeah. That's just between you and me, so, you know.
Okay. Like you mentioned in a previous post, we know the world has changed when Rich Cause is doing his show from his basement.
On like, a green screen. Yeah. I could, you know, and I could tell mm-hmm. from the last episode, I could tell when they were throwing the rubber chickens at him, there wasn't much effort into it. So I'm like, oh, man, he's just like throwing them at himself in front of a green screen. I'm like, but you notice how it took a while for him to caught up to that. So, you know, when the pandemic started, he was still in his studio, but that was good. I guess they pre-record everything. So, home just in time. That was a whole day at Riverhead Raceway, and then I had to race home for Spengoolie.
Right.
So,
brother. On that note, we're gonna have to take a bottom of the hour break.
Yeah.
All right, Christian.
Good. Thanks for talking with you, man. I finally got through. I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And
so
we will persevere and we will survive.
All right, yes. It's all good.
All right. Thank you, my brother. We'll talk real soon.
I'm talking. 10-4.
All right.
Be safe. Bye-bye. Hey. So after the break at 516-256-9510, when we come back, we're going to be talking about what? More food, more fun, more insanity, Ray?
Yeah, I have another car. Another thing I noticed because I took my car to the gas station as well as to the White Castle. And I have a thought about that I want to share with you, so I will bring you that after the break.
Alrighty.
Do we have an honor group of the hour today, Chris?
What was that? I'm sorry?
Do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Of course we do. The Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you've ordered so many parts for your car online that you have your credit card number memorized, you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you don't even have to reach for your wallet while online or on the phone, you have a big problem, or you have a very fancy car that's probably powder-coated somewhere. But if you do have your credit card number memorized because of your classic car or because of your driver, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So when we come back, we'll be having more random thoughts with Ray. He actually went to the gas station with his car. Let's alert the media. Oh, wait a minute. We are the media.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
All righty. So I'm going to hit this button right here and see what the heck happens, okay? Right here on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Alrighty, we are back. That was one of those short hot breaks right here at Motormouth Radio. That's because you hit the button and nothing happens. So we are back. And Ray is back on the video. Nice. I get to see his smiling face.
Yeah, I'm trying to conserve resources over here.
We are just flying without a net. It's the show that started off with a slump and is now moving like a herd of turtles right here. Yeah. Motormouth Radio, your one-stop shopping for all things messed up and fire or twisted or bent or broken or snapped or however you want to play it. Or right, as like Ray says, White Castle hamburger that did an end over an end and still ended up, still stayed in the box, but lost a onion square that he found on his shirt.
I want to tell you, when you mentioned having your credit card, memorizing a credit card, I have that set up with the tool guys, like my good friend Brian, Matco Man Brian.
Yeah.
He just keeps the number on file. When I need stuff, I just like, dude, you know the number, just run it. You know, it's like, no problem. You know? Actually, the Snap-on guy has it too, but I haven't used that one in a while now. That's how you know it's serious. But I wanted to tell you this because, again, it's one of those stream of consciousness things that you wouldn't necessarily think of unless you were in the moment.
Right.
And, again, I was driving the Chevy and stopped to get gas. And when I go into the station I'm at, there's always this jockey for the pumps. People have to – they feel they have to get their car on the side of the pump where their filler neck is. So the hose, even though every pump says hoses are long enough to reach both sides of the vehicle and they can stretch across an SUV, stretch across a truck, you know, people don't care. They want to be on the side where the fill. So
I'm guilty of that. I'm very guilty of that. I will always go to the side. Yeah.
But what they do is they jam up to get to certain pumps. And then you could get into the one pump that's free and clear, but you can't because there's three people trying to get onto the left side pump and you have a right side car. So anyway, there's an issue with the hose rubbing, but you know what? I do it on my cars. If you pull it and hold it off, you can hold it off. All right, you got to use a little strength. So maybe a woman isn't going to do it. Hey, women don't care about their cars anyway. They'll drag it across the paint. That's not my rant. The thing I was going to talk about is driving my Chevy, I realized like when I drive my Fiat or my Pontiac, I can pull up to any pump because the Chevy and Pontiac have the gas fill under the license plate, which is in the center of the bumper. The Fiat has it. That car's small enough. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, wow, how cool is it? All the cars in the past had license plate mounted tanks.
Right.
And that would have, if they still had that, it would have ended this problem because you can fill it from either. It doesn't matter where you are. You don't fit universally.
Yeah, so, my 300 has it in the back as well. So, but you have to crouch down.
Oh boy, the knees.
The knees have been bothering me lately, Ray Ray.
Well, you can bet. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, listen, it's always an issue. I guess. What are you going to do? I'm just offering you alternative. And I realized like, hey, I got a freebie because I didn't have to wait. You know, for people to move, I just dive bombed into the first open pump and bango, I knew I was going to be fine. So,
right. Wait a minute. So, when was the last time you put gas in the Impala? 1998, 99? When was the last time you put gas?
Actually, it was probably about, I think it was probably about 3 or 4 months ago, maybe I put some gas in it. But now this month I have to get it inspected. So, I'm running it around and I just recharge the AC and I'm, you know, throwing it out there. And I figured I'd take it out. And I had to go to the polisher yesterday out in Babylon. And I figured, ah, take the Impala. Let's throw the stuff in there and cruise out. I tell you, that is such a nice driving car. It's just, you know, those big old boat, like your 300. Just a big boat. But it does have modern amenities because it's a little newer vehicle. And it's just so different to drive it.
I believe it. I can understand that because that's what those cars are known for. And still, they do it so well. Like you say, it's just... It's funny when you think about it, because that car is how old now? It's 24
years old.
24.
Yeah.
And that was the last group of General Motors rear drive big cars.
That's when the B-body was scrapped, right? The Crown Vic. Ford kept it going with the Crown Vic for on the Panther platform for a number of years, but GM for them it was over.
Yeah, and they still did that job incredibly well. And you know, it's funny because you read a lot of the reviews on some of the cars, like some, you know, the review darlings, I call them, like the BMWs or any of the high zoot Acuras and things like that, where the car reviewers will say, oh, you know, they go through the turns and they're quick out of the turns and they handle like it's on rails. Well, you know what, in this day and age, we're in a world and an environment where there's just straight line roads and 90 degree turns. And that's really, I would just say, most of the driving that people do nowadays. So what kind of car do you need? Do you want a car that handles when you're going to put it on the LIE and point it straight and then probably stop in a quarter of a mile because there's traffic? But the car just, you want something that will get on the road, get it between the lines, and will get you where you have to go. And you're not like beaten to death in the car. Could you ever notice that there's some cars like your Fiat, like you drive that thing on the highway, you get out of the car, you're like, ah, your back is hurting, your side is hurting, your leg is hurting. Cause the car is like da-dung, hits bumps and just, it's a hard riding vehicle. And it's a vehicle that's better in the twists and turns than it is on the highway. But you get in the Chevy, you go 100 miles and you get out of the car, you're fine. You're like, everything is great. This is awesome. Those cars, that SS is built for this country. It's built for these roads. It's that sort of thing. I would get out of the TR6 and be like, ah, my back would be hurting. My sides would be hurting because it just rides like a little buckboard.
Right.
It's great in the turns, but how many times are you going to experience something like that? In Brooklyn, there were none. No roads like that in Brooklyn. So basically, it's a milestone show today, Ray. You ate lunch in your car and you went and got gas.
And then I went to the polisher, and I want to tell you something. I had previously had stuff, a lot of the trim for the car polished, the windshield trim, the drip rail moldings, and I couldn't do the belt line molding because you had to get that molding off, you had to take the windows out of the car. And, I just left that till last. So all the stuff I'd gotten back previously was all wrapped up in Saran wrap. I didn't want to unwrap it. Not Saran wrap, clear wrap stuff.
Yeah.
So now, as we were unwrapping the stuff to put on, actually, Mike had called me one day and said, hey, you know, Ray, he goes, we're test fitting the windshield molding. And some of the stuff, you know, there's a couple of dings and, you know, and I said, wow, that stuff was, I know the guy who polished it. He told me he was going to polish, but he doesn't remove any imperfections. So I said, all right, let me come take a look at it. And I did. And I realized a few pieces should have been redone. Right. And I found this new, another polisher who Gerard from Rolling Thunder turned me on to, this guy Kevin out in Babylon. Fantastic place.
Really?
And I gave him the wheel well moldings, which he did. And he did the belt line moldings for me. So I think it was 2 weeks ago, I put the belt line moldings on the car and said, okay, let me get going now. I'll put the drip rail moldings on. So I cut the wrap off of them and I installed the right side. And I stood back for a second and I looked at the drip rail compared to the belt line, and the drip rail looked like, you know, almost like a hazy thing, and the belt line looked like polished, you know, chrome. And I said, I can't have these two pieces of molding sitting 2 feet apart from each other. And there's also a rear piece of belt drip rail. So I took it off and I gave him all the drip rail molding and said,
we talked about this last week, and you said that you had a hard time getting the drip rail molding off the car. How did you do it?
Well, I did. And the reason is because now the drip rail itself has been primed and painted and cleared, and that clear is thick. And that's why it's the drip rail isn't as thin as it was with factory paint on it.
Right.
And what I had to do is I got behind it with a plastic tool and pushed and hit it, and I just had to pop it. It was tough. It was hard. But any chips or imperfections or damage that I do to that will be okay because it's going to get covered by the drip rail molding again. So
okay.
And I only did the one piece. So, yeah, now the point is I'm paying twice to have stuff polished, but it'll get done right the second time only because I didn't unpackage it from the first time, because then I would have had this molding laying around that would be, you know, prone to get scratched up again. So the other thing I found was I put the wheel well moldings in, which look great. I haven't had wheel arch moldings on that car in, Christ, 30 years.
I was going to say, did it ever have wheel arch moldings?
It did. It did. And they were bent. I had to buy a new set for the, well, a used set for the rear. I got them from Muscle Car Ray. But I got to the front right, and I lay it up and realized, oh, there's no holes in the fender opening for the screws. And then I had to scratch my head and like, oh, this is the new fender. The new fender didn't come with screw holes.
Right.
So the problem becomes now, and this is where at this stage of the restoration, it gets really like, you know, maddening, hair pulling. Everything counts, you know, every slip means a scratch, and it can be a problem. So
yeah.
I actually talked to Mike and said, listen, I need your hands and your eyes. You need four hands. You need two sets of hands to get this stuff in and line it up and then drill the holes. So, you know, it's not a one man operation unless you're better than me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough because you got to, like you say, you have to hang the molding on there, match the holes of the molding to the fender. And how do you do that? You can't put the molding on the side of a freshly painted fender and then kind of jockey it around to see if see if you can put it in a spot where you were able to drill a hole to anchor it.
And you kind of, but you have to, because there are no holes. So you have to line it up in the wheel well. And what happens with these moldings is they have a compound curve. They curve over the top of the wheel well, and then they usually dive in towards the car. The fender is contoured.
Yes.
So you put it in one side, and you start working it around, and the other piece of molding is like sticking out. You have to literally kind of like spring it into place. And that's why you need another set of hands.
I was thinking, what would happen if you used like painter's tape, that blue like 3M tape, and put it on the inside of the wheel well molding to protect it? When you put it up against the finish of the car, you're protecting the finish by not getting scratched up by the wheel well molding as you're adjusting it and moving it around and keeping it from springing out. I'm thinking something like that. Then you drill your holes, then you take it off, take the tape off it, and then apply it as it should.
That's possible, but that section where the tape would be what the molding covers anyway. So if that got scratched, it's already going to get covered by the molding. I don't want to scratch the outside of the fender, you know, the part that's not getting covered. But right. Yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's a precarious thing. And I guess guys who do this all the time maybe deal with it a lot better. Maybe they have just a better skill set. Then again, one of the guys at the shop, he's a body guy. And I found I was putting the stainless steel trim that goes below the door. It's the rocker panel trim. Mm-hmm. And there are these brackets. So on the right side, there's a big hole at the bottom that it's like a T on the bracket goes into that. The bracket sits on the lower rocker, and there's a screw that goes in the top. And two of those lower holes on the two rearmost facing brackets, the T part wouldn't go in. So he says, oh, yeah, well, they probably did a little bit of Bondo work, and they didn't clean it out. You just got to get in there. And he has this crusty old knife that he uses, and he gets in there. And of course, he leans over my shoulder to clear it, and he slipped and scratched, you know, the lower quarter panel. And he was like, oh. I'm like, it's okay. I said, listen, you know, it's the clear. Luckily, the clear is thick. And I said, and you're a body guy, and you know how to fix this.
Yes.
I said, so someday, next week, you know, you can get some, maybe some sandpaper and polish, and I'm sure you'll have that thing fixed in like you know, 15 seconds. I'm not even worried about it. Mm-hmm. So that answers the question. The first scratch. I predicted I was going to get the first scratch in my garage. No, I got it in the shop. The car didn't even leave the shop yet, and I got the first scratch. So we'll scratch that off the plate, I guess.
That's it. It's now official. You've got the official first scratch on your car.
I'm pulling it as official, yeah.
I actually got a nick on the Chrysler with a lawnmower. Of course, the chute of the lawnmower went bunk, and I caught it right under the quarter panel. And I put a little dot right in there, right into the paint. And I'm just a freak when it comes down to it's going to start rusting. If I don't pay attention to it right now, especially on this Chrysler, I know it's like seconds away from rusting into the ground. I don't know why. I just have that feeling. And I went, and I have no duplicolor for this car. So I'm like, okay, got to think fast, Rabbit. So I ran downstairs, and I have duplicolors from all different cars that are still on the shelf, that some of them are 20, 30 years old, some of these cans of spray paint, these rattle cans. And I just grabbed my green and grabbed the silver and grabbed like a blue. And I ran upstairs into the garage and took the cap, the metal cap off the green. Yeah, that's how old this thing was. Sprayed a little in the metal cap, so I got a little light green, shot a little bit of blue in there, and then shot a little bit of this metallic gray, mixed it all up with a screwdriver, mind you. Yeah. Mixed it all up. Now you had like a little half a thimble full of paint, nothing big at all. You just mix it up and then look, held it up to the top of the fender and went, that's close enough, a little bit more green. Psh, psh, psh. Sprayed it in the cap, mixed it up, and then with the same screwdriver, I mixed up the paint. I got on the floor and went right to the spot where the little nick was with the corner of the screwdriver. I just went boop and just dropped a dot of green paint. I think I was about a shade off, but it kind of helps. And I remember one time Anthony Trincilla, one of the Motormouth Radio co-hosts, said to me, he said that I had that talent to do that, to take paint and just spray it in a cap, mix it up, and apply it, and it would be perfect. And there was a time when I did. This wasn't that time. This wasn't that time. I was a shade off. But you know what? I covered it.
Yeah, but on a car like that where the paint is older, like, so what? You know, it covered it. That's the most important thing, that you're not going to get the rust.
Right. That's exactly it. So yeah, you got to think on the fly sometimes. And I wish I had the benefit of having a body man scratch the car, because then you know we can fix it. And yeah, you know, it's funny how the body work has advanced. When I got the Mazda back last week, and I'm looking at, like, you're trying to find where they did the blending, because they had to mount a new front fascia on the car. And I saw trying to see where they blended the paint into the fender. Ray.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
Let me tell you a secret. They have a way of, they can mix the paint, and they can actually shade it in the mix to account for fade.
That's incredible.
So you're really not getting the full blown, because like to do a fender, you might have to do the hood and the door to make the fender look right. But instead of that, you just pre-fade the fender paint, and now it matches. Yeah, the computerized systems are fantastic.
Holy smokes. I remember one time when my dad broke the fuel filler door on the Mitsubishi.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and he went to go get it priced, and the body man told him $600. He was like, $600 for what? And the guy said he had to blend all around. And my father's complaining to me, saying, oh, they had to do this, they had to do that. I said, Daddy's right. That's what they have to do. They have to blend all around. What are you going to do? Take a white door and just paint it green and put it on there? It's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah. So, but he didn't do that. If you listen to some of the past shows from like 2007, I saved it by going, I called up a junkyard that actually had a 2001 Mitsu, and they used the same color green in all the cars. So he was selling something, I think it was a transmission, on eBay, but he had a picture of the whole car, and it was the green. So I called him. He says, you interested in the transmission? I said, no, I want your fuel filler door. He was like, sure, I'll sell you that. and he sent it to me. We hung it on the Mitsu, and it was fine. It looked fine. It wasn't even a shade off. We totally lucked out. Totally. But yeah, I could only imagine they would have to blend that all in. And yeah. The fact that a computer allows for a fade, that's right. Fantastic.
Holy well, we smokes. Can allow for a quick fade, too. People can get in a quick fade with us if they want to call at 516-256-9510 and tell us a story. I know, Matt Goman, I was trying to catch up with him again because actually the same fellow at the shop who scratched the car, he was asking me about some long Torx drivers. I said, don't worry, I got a guy. I'm going to reach out to him right now, and I'll find out for you. I'll see if we can find out. I did get a Matco tool last week. Brian sent it to me. It's a CT16. If I've got my numbers correctly, I'm going to put the post up on Twitter and Instagram. It'll be on the website later today. It's a pressure washer, but all it is, it's a handheld device, and you put shop air in the back, and there's a hose. If you've used a pressure washer at home,
sure.
You know, you can use solvent first and spray solvent on whatever you're cleaning, and then you use the pressure water. So when you use the solvent, it's just a hose that comes down off your nozzle and goes into the bucket of solvent. So right. That's what you do with this. There's a hose that comes down into your solvent of choice.
All right, Ray, you just muted yourself. Can you unmute yourself, Ray? You muted yourself. All right, I'm going to go to the phones because I can't hear you. Let's go to the phones and go to the fun. Maybe we can get Ray back and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths. Okay, phones are out and Ray is out.
Really? So, I don't see you John.
Yeah, I'm back. Here. Okay, there you are.
I'm here, yeah. Was I, did you lose, you lost me for a minute?
For about a minute, yeah. You were out.
What did I last say?
You last said, help, I'm trapped in a fortune cookie factory.
Oh, yeah, that happens. Matco CT16, that pressure sprayer, is a great little...
Last word I think we heard was solvent.
Yeah, I used a solvent of Simple Green, and I cleaned the wheels on my daughter's car with it. This is a great little quickie thing to have around the shop if you want to clean down an engine or a chassis. The only problem I found that with this thing is as it it atomizes whatever solvent you're using, and even though I used a diluted bucket of Simple Green,
right,
with small particles, I should have had some kind of a respirator on, like a chemical respirator, because I found myself like, oh my god,
really?
Yeah, fine particulate, yeah, you shouldn't be breathing this stuff, folks.
Really, Simple Green.
Warning about that. So maybe other things wouldn't be as bad, but definitely Simple Green is something you want to stay away from. But the cleaner work, watch out, watch the social media feeds, watch the Twitter and Facebook, Motormouth Radio and Real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram later on today, and you'll see the post. I did a quick little video too, and you can see it.
Son of a gun. You know, I have to look for a tool as well. I'm going to splurge and go for a hydraulic. Small hydraulic jack. Harbor Freight sells them. It's a 3-inch small jack, and you have a pump, and it's about $200 out of Harbor Freight, and I need it for my wheel bearings in the front of the Explorer. I think they need to go because I did the rears, but I'm still getting that whoop 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 noise. And especially if you're going through a sweeping exit ramp, it goes whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I know. And I did the backs already, and the backs were murder.
Are you going to set up like a makeshift kind of press to do this?
Exactly. Right in the car. I'm going to do a makeshift press. It's exactly
I'd like to see how you do that. You know what? You should post those pictures on our social media site so people can see. I want to see.
Because it's either that or they sell something. It's a bearing removal tool. It's called it's bearing bandit or something like that. It's literally a piece of steel that you bolt right to the bearing and you swack it with a 5-pound sledge, and it allegedly is supposed to remove any seized bearing. But I don't want to go with that yet. I don't feel like swacking anything because I had my fair share of that. So I'm going to try the hydraulic method and see if that works. I'm going to see if that goes. But yeah, you're still with me there, Ray. I see you freezing up.
we had a call.
What? I'm watching you and I didn't see the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a gun. Well, we only have about...
I was giving you the universal telephone signal. I guess I got to do this.
You froze, so I didn't see the universal telephone signal. What are you doing? Ray's going under the banner. I'm afraid, Ray. But we got a phone call. Hold on. We got a phone call. Let's see if we can get this phone call in and make this show a technological marvel. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Chris, Ray, it's Billy G.
Hey, Billy.
Billy Velvet, how are you, almighty?
Good. Listen, I know we're pressed for time, but this I'll leave you with the question of the day, especially for Matt Go, man, Brian. You know, when we bought tools back in the day, like in my case, my first set of tools were Craftsman, you know, that 41-piece set for $18.
Yeah.
So when I go out and buy tools, I'm still like allegiance to Craftsman. So when do I make the break to jump ship and go to Snap-on or Matco?
Now.
You know what I mean? I know. But you know, you just get that affinity toward a certain, you know. So that's the question of the day. All right.
I would say now as well.
But if, you know, you can still buy Craftsman. Let me say that. You know, I know Lowe's still sells them. Ace Hardware still sells Craftsman. The design, and some people say the quality of the tools has changed for the worst. I've used a new ratchet that I thought was okay, because it was one laying around a shop that I picked up, but I don't know about the wrenches. I mean, I made that switch a long time ago, so of course I'm going to say now, and of course Brian would too,
but if you need to stop,
let me know, because we got a guy.
We got a guy.
We got a guy.
And we
got
to run.
Yeah, I know. All right. Good talking to you. So we'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, right, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Be safe. Bye-bye. That looks like it, Ray. I think we've run this show completely into the ground.
I think we have.
Get your internet service back on so we can do a halfway decent show here. I can't watch everything from the confines of the basement here.
You promised me next Friday I should have internet. So if there's any Verizon techs out there that can switch me from Cablevision to Verizon, and I don't have to use this plastic ear scoop anymore, I would be. I think we're getting ready to talk. So
all righty, for Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio. We are out of here. I am going to hit this yellow button right now and say, don't follow us home. Bye-bye.
See ya.